Hi, my name is Pat Pepper, and I'm going to be talking to you about a hellish journey that I have been on. In characterizing this journey, I want to recognize that I am not, I understand that many of us here today share a common suffering, whether it be with Lyme disease or cancer or any other type of catastrophic happening that has affected you and therefore your family and friends. I have been misdiagnosed, and in 1993, when I began to have slight weakness in my right arm, I began to visit what became over 30 neurologists and internists, many of them quite famous, in an effort to discover what it was that was causing them a very slight weakening of my right arm. It was a journey in the beginning that was frustrating, but not alarming, extensive, but not painful. It was just simply a series of inquiries as to why my arm was weakening. I began in 94, when I had trouble writing, to become more worried. And without going into specific detail, suffice it to say that neurologists I found, whether they were in Miami, New York, Boston, Baltimore, they were very narrowly focused, and they used an EMG test only, although they were doing many, many other MRIs, bone marrow tests, CAT scans. I can't think how many blood tests. Finally, they began to mention ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, all the while hemming and hawing. In 1995, I visited a Lyme specialist in New York City, and I told him at the time my story of what I thought was a splinter in my right arm, which I had gotten in 93 while heading up the effort on behalf of the governor of Florida to bring South Dade back together again after Hurricane Andrew. I was actually in charge of those recovery efforts. I was the director of housing and community development for the state of Florida. So therefore, it made sense for me to be in charge of recovery efforts. The doctor in New York wasn't too interested in my splinter story. The splinter, by the way, was a large vector, and later, as I found out about Lyme disease, I know now that that was the source and the cause. My swollen arm, which swelling went away, was certainly the start of the weakening. The misdiagnosis left me in a complete quandary, because no matter what neurologist I went to see, I was told I was going to be dead within a matter of a few years. Now, in 95, when I got to the Lyme doctor, I thought that finally I had gotten an expert who could clinically look at my problem of neurological degeneration. Instead, he used the ELISA and Western blot, and they came back negative. Today I know they were false negatives. But those false negatives created hell in my life. That internist sided with the neurologist in telling me, indeed, I had ALS. Indeed, it looked as if what I had was incurable, untreatable, and fatal, and would be a life that included tubes and all kinds of horrific visions came to mind. I didn't believe the neurologist, but for those of us who have doctors who insist upon a diagnosis when we insist otherwise, this is heady stuff. It is, I found, extremely difficult to get the medical profession to look outside the envelope. Once the ELISA Western blot came back negative, this doctor in New York did not go further. I talked to him in 96 and again in 98. Both times I gave him evidence of parasites in 96 and in 98, a blood culture which showed that I had spirochetes and a lot of them. On both occasions, this esteemed Lyme conservative doctor told me that I was essentially crazy and that I needed to come to terms with my disease of ALS. At that time, I did not know that babesiosis was, or parasites, were associated with Lyme. Thank God my daughter continued to research. It was in 98, via the internet, that the breakthrough was created, and in a chat room on ALS, we discovered that indeed people were misdiagnosed. Today, that misdiagnosis is confirmed. Today, because I had the very good fortune of finally coming in contact with a medical professional, Dr. Joseph Boscano, who knew and knows how to treat late-stage serious Lyme disease. By the time I got to him in July of 98, I was in a quadriplegic situation. In 95, however, when I saw the first Lyme doctor, I was in robust health. I find it mystery as to why the medical community and people like Dr. Detweiler at Stony Brook continue to insist that Lyme disease is a figment of people's imagination, and they continue to insist that the ELISA and Western blot are dependable when in fact they're wrong 40% of the time. I am disgusted with the NIH and the CDC. The NIH, as we know, takes our taxpayer dollars and puts them back into medical research. The fact that Lyme research is in the arthritis department tells us a lot about why we do not today have the relief we need, the cure we need for the over 200,000 people who have Lyme. NIH is politically motivated. Look at diabetes. It kills more people than AIDS and breast cancer put together. Yet, per person in the NIH, they spend $20 per person for diabetes research and $2,000 for AIDS. Now, I have someone I love very much who that affects. And the Lyme research affects me and many of you. How in the world do we do something about this? To me, you look at the AIDS movement. They are effective. And the Lyme Foundation and people must be united politically. That is the only way that the money and the focus needed to bring about an intelligent answer to the cure of Lyme disease will happen. I also want to say that the consequence of not dealing with Lyme are extraordinarily expensive for all of us, and that expense jeopardizes the healing, jeopardizes the cure. In my case, my insurance company, Oxford Medical Group, has refused to pay for any and all therapies except 6 weeks of IV antibiotics. That hardly makes a dent because I needed over 6 months of IV antibiotics. I had 70 hyperbaric treatments at $200 apiece. That is an extraordinary amount. I have intensive physical therapy every day to bring the ravaged muscles, 600 of them, back to 100% operation. It is the obligation of my insurance company to pay for my health care. And yet, they are getting by with not paying for it. Were I not able to afford these outrageous bills, I would not be getting well today as I am. Instead, now, I have to sue the insurance company. Now, you explain to me why doctors like Dr. Detwiler of Stony Brook, a paid state employee for the state of New York, is also paid by insurance companies as their expert witness to testify that 6 weeks of IV antibiotic therapy is plenty and certainly would cure any stage of Lyme disease. It didn't come close with me. Let me say that my personal philosophy through these years has been to live one day at a time. I look upon each day as a new beginning, a new opportunity to get stronger physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Hopefully, also, am improving overall as a person. And it's important to me to be able, still in my life, to give back. That has been my life work as mayor of West Palm Beach, as housing commissioner of the state, heading up the recovery for Hurricane Andrew. I want to continue to help people who cannot help themselves. I've learned to let go of expectations of my loved ones and my family. This is a solo journey, and I believe that it requires an enormous amount of focus and discipline, which some days I have, others I don't. I'm very fortunate to have wonderful friends who are extremely supportive, and in my darkest hours, they, along with prayer, sustain me. I know I will be 100% again. I know I will be involved in fighting against the inequities of medical politics. I am doing so today, and I will step up my work